to connect and be filled with my power. I will show you the way. Now is the time. This is the day. Listen to me closely, for I will instruct you in the way that you should go. Trust my spirit, and you shall know. Be bold, be strong, and go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. To learn about his creativity. We went to Mount Sinai to learn about communion with God. We went to Goshen, where it was a plague-free zone. All right? We went to Moriah to learn about sacrifice and testing. We went to the temple to learn about how God wants to build his body. We went to the bush, which was the place of calling. All right? We went to Macedonia, which was the place of salvation. We went to the Mount of Transfiguration, where we experience God's glory. We went to the Ark, the place of ultimate protection. We went to the Tabernacle, where we learned about fellowship and friendship with God. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane, learned about commitment. And tonight, we're going to the place. We went to the cross, and we learned about the place of suffering. And tonight, we're going to go to the place of victory. How many are excited about victory? We're going to go to the empty tomb. And we're going to experience the place of victory. So when we're in the midst of football season, anybody ever play sports or you understand sports? When a team goes to a game, they have what's called a game plan, right? Now, do they plan to lose? No. Their game plan, if executed properly, should lead them to victory. All right? A team does not go to the field without a game plan. And God gave us the greatest game plan that we could ever have. Coach Jesus. He put us on the field, and his game plan for us is to win, to get the victory, to overcome. He plans for us to win every time. But the problem is we don't always follow the plan. So let's go to the tomb. Let's see this place where God's presence manifested and demonstrated victory. All right, let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. You got your seatbelts on? You ready to go here with me? All right. It's okay if you talk to me. I like that. Okay? Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed. Anybody know what the Sabbath celebrates? It celebrates death passing over. Amen? The Sabbath came about when the Israelites were in Egypt and they were instructed to put blood on the door that the spirit of death would pass over. And God instituted the Sabbath as a celebration to be had throughout generations. So the Sabbath was passed. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the tomb, or the sepulcher. I like to say tomb better. It's a whole lot easier to say. Amen? They came to the place where Jesus was laid for a brief period of time. They came to the tomb at the rising of the sun. So this was early. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great or heavy, big. All right? Not something that was easily, okay? And entering into the tomb, the place, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. God's presence was there in the tomb because angels were there. Heaven's ministers, heaven's messengers, heaven's warriors. Here was an angel sitting on the right side, and he said to them, "Be not afraid." Hallelujah. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." They laid him there, but he didn't stay there. Because he was resurrected. Imagine the power that came into that place to bring that body to life, to stand it on its feet, and to cause him to disappear. You know what? He didn't need the stone rolled away to come out. The stone rolled away was just for the people who were going to witness. I mean, there was so much power on the resurrection day. God's power came into that place, brought him from the depths of the earth, resuscitated him, healed him. Do you realize every wound on his back was bound up? The only wounds he had were the hands and feet and the side. He resurrected. All right? So, then the angel said in verse 7, "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you." They went quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled. See, when you're in a place where God's power is, you might quake. You might quake, right? It might be like a boat on the lake, and you got some wake, right? It's moving that boat up and down. I'm telling you, shook under the power of God. I'll never forget the time I was in the Czech Republic, and we were doing a Bible study, and an evangelist from Sweden was there. And he began to share about the Lord and about evangelism, and all of a sudden, he singled me out. And as he began to speak over me, I don't even remember what he said, but I shook for 45 minutes under the power of God. It was like electricity was coursing through me. I couldn't help it. My breathing was heavy. I just was shaken under the power of God. Why do you need to shake? Because sometimes things need to fall off that don't need to remain. Man, if you want the nuts to come off the tree, you got to shake the tree, right? I had some nuts that needed to be shaken off me. Well, here was this place. It's the place of victory. It's where Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave all at once. Where he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, went down to the True Ace Hardware and made copies for you and I. And anybody who believes in him, he gives you keys to the kingdom. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Go have a good time. Say, I've got some keys to the kingdom. So they went and told the disciples, but the disciples didn't believe what they were told. They did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't matter that Jesus said it many times before he died. It didn't matter that, they just didn't believe. Because verse 10 says, and she went and told them that had been with him, and as they mourned and wept. So she comes, they come back to the place where they were gathered. The disciples are mourning and weeping, and she's saying, hey, I've got some good news. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. He's risen. Verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, what? They believed not. Now, then he goes into the story that he appeared to two of them. So let's go to Luke 24 and let's see that story, because Mark doesn't give us any details about this. Okay? This is still in conjunction with the tomb, the place of victory. Okay? I'm going to teach you how to get the victory tonight. How to get the victory over every problem. How to get the victory over any enemy. How to get the victory over any obstacle. Listen, God can clear the path for you so that nothing's standing in your way, so you're without excuses. You can't say to God, that giant was too big, that mountain was too tall, that task was too hard. You can't do that. You can't say that city was too big or those people were too strong or that disease just won't leave my body. Why? God's given you the goods to overcome. People, you can't say that you can't do good in school. God will give you wisdom. He gives you the spirit of wisdom. He is your wisdom. He'll help you. We got to stop making excuses as to why we can't do what God said we should do. And we've all been there. We've all made excuses. God tells you to do something. Oh, I can't do that. God says, oh, really? Did you know that you're can't? Doing something is a shock to him, is a surprise to him. Because the reason he's telling you that you can is because you can. The very fact that he is speaking to you means you can. So Luke 24, I'm going somewhere. And so verse 13, Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, about 7 miles. So here you got two disciples who on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, they are walking to Emmaus, 7 mile walk. Okay? And they were talking together of all the things that happened. And verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So they're walking. Now, so can I have you come here, please? All right? They're walking, okay? And they're talking, and all of a sudden, a third person joins them. Now, at the moment, thank you, Nelson, they don't know that it's Jesus, okay? Because he didn't reveal himself. All right? And their eyes were holden or heavy that they should not know him. Okay? He prevented them from knowing him in just this moment. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have with... did you know that Jesus listens to your conversations? He is there walking with them, listening to their conversation. He's saying, what are you guys talking about? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which has come to pass these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now this is Jesus. This is the one who just resurrected. And he's just enjoying this conversation. They said unto him, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Verse 21, now look at this. These two are having a conversation. They were part of the disciples. They might have been part of the 70. Okay? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They're talking in past tense. They are doubting that Jesus was who he said he was. They are not believing that he rose from the dead because they said, we trusted in that he was going to redeem Israel. But I guess, you know, I guess it's not going to happen now. Okay? And today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the tomb. And when they had found not his body, they came and they had also seen a vision of angels. They didn't see a vision of angels. The angel was up there. He appeared. It wasn't a vision. It was a reality. How do you say angels are real? Okay. So was the women who had said, but they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and what? Slow of hearts have spoken. Notice, he didn't say you're slow of heart to believe what the women said. You're slow of heart to believe what the word said. O fools. It's like when Paul said in Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Let something else keep their eyes off the word. Jesus calls them fools because they were so quick to disbelieve. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus began to preach to these two walking on to the maze. He began to use the word to encourage them, to build their faith, to strengthen them so that they believe. How many know you can only use the word to strengthen someone's faith? You can't strengthen your faith with opinion. You can't strengthen your faith with feeling. You can't strengthen your faith with what your daddy says or what your mama says or what your neighbor says or what your doctor says. You can only strengthen your faith with the word. So Jesus started from Moses and told him the scriptures all about himself. Okay. And they drew near to the village. And he said, I'm going to go on further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at dinner or supper, whatever you want to call it, He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So he encouraged them with the word. He had communion with them. And then he vanished as quickly as he came. Okay? And their eyes were open, and they were talking with one another and said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was called? There was something about his voice. There was something about what he was saying that was doing some work on the inside of their hearts. God, Jesus was using the word to tweak their hearts. Has God ever tweaked your heart? And by the way, he opened the scriptures, and they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem 7 miles, by the way. They had just walked 7 miles. Now they're going back 7 miles. And what did they do? They found the 11 gathered together and then that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen. Listen, the resurrection has a message that must go forth. And you and I have been enlisted by God to proclaim the message that he is risen, that he is alive. Okay? And if right from the dead isn't going to spur you on, then it's going to spur you on to get the message out. As soon as their eyes were open and they knew who it was, they went back to Jerusalem to tell them. Place where you look at the resurrection, people were compelled to tell. Say, I'm compelled to tell. Say, I'm going to tell his story. And so these two, they saw Jesus, they heard Jesus, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and let's talk about our victory that we get. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Now, the way that we're going to get our victory, it's going to come in three areas. Okay? 1 and 2. He gives us an indication on how we can receive the victory and apply the victory to our lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact, but not many people are walking in the power of it. Because we let things defeat us. We let things take our eyes off of Jesus. We let distractions come in. And we start having more faith in the distractions than in Jesus. We start letting our excuses be principles that we live by. Oh no, I can't do this because of that. I can't go up there. What are people going to think? What's God going to think? First Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, everybody say moreover. Does that sound like you're going to get more than you expected? Moreover? God's already given us some, but he's going to put some more on top. Moreover, God is a moreover God. He's a too much God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. So the three areas are how you hear the gospel, how you receive the gospel, and how you hold fast to the gospel. If you want to experience victory, your victory will not come apart from the gospel. The gospel is good news about Jesus. Anything that's good about Jesus, it's the gospel. And he said, go spell. Go spell it out, because sometimes we just don't get it, so we got to spell it out. Okay? How you hear the word, you receive the word, how you hold fast to the word. Or another way to say it is, how you maintain your steadfastness. Okay? Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in it. To do nothing with the gospel is to believe it in vain. If we believe it, we'll do it. If we believe it, we'll share it. If we believe it, we'll live it. How much do you believe the gospel? Does it change the way you live? Does it change the way you treat people? Does it change the way you balance your checkbook? Uh-oh. Now you're messing with my finances, Pastor. Well, that's all part of it. Jesus gave his life. And there are things that we need to give to him. Let's talk about this. All right? But first, let me say this. If there was no resurrection, Corinthians teaches this, okay? I'm just not going to go there because of time's sake. If there was no resurrection, then Christ is not risen, he's still dead. Then our preaching is empty. Then why am I up here tonight on a Wednesday night preaching if there's no resurrection? Because it would be in vain. I should go out and do something else if there was no resurrection. All right? If there's no resurrection, our faith is empty. Can't go too far on an empty tank. Our faith is useless or futile or fruitless. If there is no resurrection, then we're still under sin. Still controlled by sin if there was no resurrection. This is what Corinthians tells us. Okay? If there was no resurrection, then everybody who testified to the Lord who rose is a false witness if there was no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, then everybody who dies is lost. They perish. They perish. If there's no resurrection, then if all we have is hope of Christ in this life and not the afterlife, then Corinthians says we're most pitiable. Or miserable. All right? But there was a resurrection. There is a resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. It is a fact. It is a truth. He did what he said he was going to do. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first harvest of all who died. He's the first one offered in the harvest. He is alive. And guess what? With his resurrected body, he could move freely. He was not limited by space. He could show up in a room when all the windows and doors were locked. His resurrection body, he entered rooms. He was touched. He ate. He spoke. He went through. He was not limited by matter. And he was flesh and bone. That's what he said. He said, you can touch me. I'm flesh and bones. That was a resurrected body. He could move. He could show up just like that. He could leave just like that. So guess what? When you get your resurrected body, when he comes again, your movement is going to be accelerated. Woo! That's how we need to move in the spirit. Did you know that there is a spiritual side to your life? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law in me that's made me free. Hallelujah. Okay? So, in Adam, all die, but in Christ, are made alive. Say, in Christ, I'm made alive. Okay? The body is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in power. Does God give you power? Is God a powerful God? Does he transfer his power to us? You have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right, let's talk about these three things that are going to help you get the victory. Everybody who heard Jesus rose didn't believe it until they saw it. John and Peter had to go to the tomb to see the empty tomb. They did not take the message at face value. Thomas didn't believe he resurrected. He had to touch him and feel, or Philip, Thomas, yeah. He had to touch him. He didn't believe. The two walking to Emmaus didn't believe. They said, oh, well, we thought he was going to be our Redeemer, but I guess he's not. Jesus called them foolish. So how you hear will determine whether or not you have the victory. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm just going to focus on these three things in the last few minutes, and we're going to have a victory tonight. Amen? Victory has arrived. You don't have to struggle for it. You don't have to do cartwheels for it. All you have to do is believe for it. Do you believe? It doesn't happen to you in the past. Do you realize after the resurrection, Jesus had no pain? Jesus did not say ouch when Thomas touched him. He had scars, but he had no pain. If you've had a painful experience, you need a victory. You need a resurrection tonight. The resurrection will wipe away all pain and give you joy. Matthew 13, verse 12. Says this, for whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, some people don't hear the gospel because it's different than their experience. When you hear a scripture that contradicts an experience you had, your immediate thought is that can't be real because my experience is real. But if you approach the word like that, you got to understand that the word is more real than your experience. You got to shift your belief system. All right? These people were hearing, but yet they weren't hearing. They were seeing, but yet they weren't seeing. They were missing something. They didn't have revelation because they didn't have a relationship. See, when you have a relationship with Jesus, he will reveal truth to you. He will show you. He will give you understanding. He will give you wisdom. But if you don't have a relationship with him, then you're on your own. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed, their ears are dull of hearing. How do your ears become dull when God speaks to you and you don't act? And the more that happens, the duller your ears become. To the point where you have no feeling in your ears. They have and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. What are you missing in your hearing? What are you missing in your seeing? What are you missing in your heart? How you receive His word, which goes into receptivity. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Love to say Thessalonians. I don't know why, it's just a cool word. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God. How? Come on, speak to me. How? Without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. How do you receive the word? If someone gives you a word from God, if someone speaks scripture to you, how do you receive it? Oh, that's just you talking? That's just a man talking? Or is it God talking? How you receive it will determine how it affects you. We got to change how we receive God's word. Jesus healed people through instructions. Pick up your mat. Stretch forth your hand. I will come and heal him. Jairus said, come and lay your hands on my daughter. And what did Jesus do? He went with him. How you hear the word will determine what you do. When we hear the word from God, we got to be able to recognize that, is it God talking? And if God's talking, we need to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, should be our only answer to what God is asking us. Yes, sir, you are healed. Yes, sir, you are prosperous. Yes, sir, you are blessed. Yes, sir, you have joy. Yes, sir, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, sir. How you hear will determine how you will respond. Eli did not hear God's word in being a father to his children. And God said, those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. You got to be like the Bereans, Acts 17:11. They received the word with readiness. What did they do? They heard Paul preach. And you know what they did? They went to the scriptures that Paul talked about. And they wanted to see if what he was saying was so. The Bereans, he said, they were more honorable than they because they searched out the scriptures daily to see if what I was saying was so. That's receiving the word. You got to receive the word with readiness. You got to be ready to study, ready to do, ready to act on it. Acts 2:41, the Bible says they gladly received the word. Everybody say gladly. They were glad to receive the word. They got filled. They were touched. What do we need to do to be saved? They gladly received the word. You got to receive it with readiness. You got to receive it with gladness if you want victory. Victory is a good word. Victory, overcome, champion, win. Victory is a good Bible word. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. When you visit an empty tomb, you know that he won. He got the victory, and he wants to share his victory with you. He doesn't just want us to celebrate with him. He wants to give us the same victory. That nothing can overcome you, nothing can hinder you, nothing can stop you. God wants you to have the victory. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me, and he saw me with his precious blood. He sought us out. Now what are we doing for him? We're silent. Well, I just can't witness because I don't know what to say. That's a bunch of bunk. You got a story to tell. I mean, I can understand if you got born again yesterday and the Lord didn't do it, well, he saved you from death, by the way. All of us have been saved from death. That's a good thing. I mean, you don't have to be a drug addict to have a story. We got a story. Jesus pulled me out of the miry clay. I was going to hell, and he saved me. So I'm going to tell his story. They were so... Come on. Hebrews 4:2 says you got to mix faith with the message that you hear. What does that mean? To mix faith. Okay? If you need the victory tonight, and I say come up, and you don't come up, then you can't blame God for not giving you the victory. See, the victory is something that God gives you, but you got to go after it. I mean, when someone gives you a Christmas present, how many still have their Christmas present wrapped in a wrapper? Huh? When someone gives you a Christmas gift, what do you do with it? Does anybody here have an unopened Christmas gift with the wrapper still on it, sitting at your house? You know, and your relative says, oh, I gave you that nice thing. Oh, you did? Well, you wouldn't know it because you haven't opened it. That's what we do with God. God gives us all these gifts, but we don't open it. We leave it in the wrapper. Oh, yeah, it's in our possession, but we're not using it. No, when you visit the empty tomb, you're going to be compelled to use it. It's a victory. Champion won. And then, got to finish with this. You got to be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:2, he said, hold fast. Everybody say, hold fast. Hold fast. That means to be 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And verse 2. He says that you be not soon shaken in mind. To be steadfast is you're not shaken in mind. You don't have to be like James Bond. He likes stuff shaken and not stirred. Amen? Not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of that hand. So when you're steadfast, you're not shaken in your mind, you're not troubled, and you're not moved by spirit. The only thing that moves you is God's word. You're steadfast. Steadfast. Philippians 1:27, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. Do you behave like Jesus behaved? Come on now. Are we behaving like Jesus behaved? Ephesians 4, don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Because that makes you a spiritual child. Don't be carried away. That's why God gave us pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, so that we wouldn't be carried away with every wind of doctrine, so that we would grow up and mature and be perfected. Oh, say this. Say, God is perfecting that which concerns me. Listen, if he rose from the dead, don't you think he can do something for you? Don't you think he can change your situation? Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given you and don't be entangled again. Stand fast in the liberty. Hold fast to the liberty. Walk in your freedom. Walk in your joy. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up. It is not my job to stir you up. It is my job to preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's twice as much correction as there is encouragement. Reproving and rebuking, that's correcting. He says, preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, then exhort. I'm going to correct you twice before I can encourage you. Because you got to get these things straightened out, because my encouragement will just mess you up. Because you're not ready to handle it yet. Reprove. You got to be rebuked. You got to share your testimony. You've got to share what Jesus Christ has done for you. Everybody encountered the empty tomb. That's what they did. Peter was so impacted that he might have got his message from the first day of Pentecost at the empty tomb. Don't know. But we need the resurrection of Jesus Christ to impact us. We've got to go to the place of victory, the empty tomb, where he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Death has been conquered. It's going to be overthrown when he comes again. It's going to be the last enemy that he whoops. Amen? So God's got a place of victory for you tonight. How you hear the word, how you receive the word, and how you hold fast with what you've been, with what you receive. What are you doing with what you receive? You're just going from meeting to meeting, from service to service. What are you doing in between? We've got to do more. Jesus is coming soon. We have a small window of opportunity. God's got you where he's got you so that you can be a light. So just shine. But God wants to give you the victory tonight. He wants to bring you to the place of victory. Victory in your marriage. Victory in your finances. Victory in your relationships. Victory in your joy. Man, the resurrection brought some joy. We got excited. Woo! Once they understood it, they ran with it. And that's all they talked about. That's all they preached on. They said, don't you preach the resurrection. And they said, we can't help but obey God. We're going to obey God versus man. We're going to preach about the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. If he can get out of the grave, we can get off our bottoms. Woo. So it's time to get off our duffs. And let's get our stuff. Because God will make you tough. Because I've had enough of excuses. We don't want to hear why you can't do something. I want to hear why you can do something. Amen? Let's look for reasons to do something great versus why we can't do something great. I want to hear people talk about excuses why they come to church, not why they don't come to church. Amen? So let's get our victory tonight. If you need a victory in whatever area of life, I'm telling you, victory is here tonight. You are at victory to get a victory, and you're going to keep your victory. One thing about God's victory is there's not a title match. There's not going to be someone coming to take your victory. It's yours. And you can walk in it. You can hold the title as long as you want. You can hold it for the rest of your life as long as you want. Amen? So if you need a victory tonight, I want you to come up right now in Jesus' name. And I want you to receive I want you to receive this as a word from God, not as a word